Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, friends, and happy Friday. How we doing? It is the Chris and Amy Show, but it's not exactly the Chris and Amy Show. Today, it's Chris and John. John Hancock is in for Chris Ranji. Please visit with us today. Always, we welcome your correspondence. Don't write us letters, though. We don't know how to read paper. 314-436-7900. You can send us text messages or call that number. You can also leave us voice messages on the Audacy app, AUDACY. Perfectly. You got the app on your phone, don't you, John?
Yeah, I do. Where is my phone?
You've lost your phone. You didn't leave it outside, did you? Oh, there
it's
it
right
is.
Here.
You know what? What you just did is something, it's reminding me of one of my buddies one time who was an absolute liability, so much so we had to stop inviting him out.
Oh.
And I looked up. We were at the bar one night. I looked up, and he's fighting with the bouncer.
Ooh.
And he's arguing. He's yelling, and they're going back
look.
And forth. And so I walked over and said, what's going on?
Yeah.
And he said, he stole my phone. Talking about the bouncer.
To the bouncer?
Yes. I'm like, why would he steal your phone? He's like, he took my phone. And he's swearing, and it's getting out of control. And I said, buddy, it's in your back pocket.
Ugh.
And he goes, oh, did you put that there? No. I didn't. You're an idiot. It's been in your back pocket the entire time.
Wow, and he almost started a fracas.
He almost started a fracas.
You hate to see the fracases breaking out
I
out there.
I hate the fracases.
The fracas is a terrible thing to happen to somebody.
Let me just tell you this. I've never really, when you're in high school, did you ever see fights in the hallways?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I never liked watching the fights.
Huh.
Didn't do it for me.
Yeah, I kept walking.
People crowd around and they watch the fights.
I had a massive fight back in the third grade.
You?
I don't. Don't like to talk about my pugilistic prowess, but yeah.
Did you put a whooping on somebody?
Keith Gentry.
Oh yeah,
yeah. He was mouthy.
He doesn't want to know about that.
He was mouthy.
His business.
I had my Hank Stram football game plan all rolled up into a little thing there, a little scroll, and I was coaching the boys out there on the gridiron, third grade, and Keith got a little mouthy, Ronj.
Oh.
And, well, I'd had just about enough. I was trying to coach this football team out there. So I let him have it. I let him have it. He bent over, and I beat that man's back like he was a bongo drum. And then out of nowhere, came Miss Bowman.
Uh-oh.
Miss Bowman, who was at that time approximately 78 years old. She was one of the third grade teachers at Frostfield Elementary School. And how that woman broke that fight up was amazing. I mean, she grabbed me by something and tossed me one way, and she grabbed Keith by something else and tossed him the other way, and we had to go to Mr. Poe's office.
Uh-oh. You don't want to go see Mr.
Fielding
Poe?
Fielding A. Poe, the principal of Frostfield Elementary School. Who,
I fielded a Poe or two.
Fielding A. Poe.
Yeah.
Poe, and he was the principal, and ironically enough, he went to grade school with my father.
Oh.
And he proceeded to... the one and only SWAT I ever received in my academic career was at the hands of Fielding A. Poe.
You know, here's what we need to do. We need to get to the business, and we're going to get to this real quick, okay?
Yeah.
Watch us on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter.
All
we are
stuff.
At Chris Amy KMOX.
Time now for the top of the order. The top top three stories everyone will be talking about.
St. Louis is receiving more assistance in monetary form to help clean up the tornado debris, which is still an ongoing and massive undertaking, though the federal government will not be taking over the effort.
And a school teacher in Columbia, Illinois, has resigned after sharing a quote from Charlie Kirk.
That's an interesting situation. We will talk more about that. Also, the final home series of the season for the Cardinals starts tonight. It's the Brewers at Busch, 7:15 first pitch. We got the pregame show, 6:20 here on KMOX. And we will, of course, have the Gas House Gang at 12 o'clock today at noon. Mike Claiborne, Matt Pauly, and me. We're going to be talking with you sports for an hour. So, John, this is just, I mean, this is not breaking news or anything,
no.
But it reminded me of it. You're talking about your fight that you got into, and then it resulted in a SWAT.
Yes.
There are people listening that have no idea what a SWAT is.
Oh.
Or they've never received one or never seen a classmate receive one. And I don't know, it just, that's how I grew up. Yeah. We used to have SWATs.
Yeah,
and sometimes when I tell people about it, they say, what are you talking about?
Huh.
They would take you in the hallway and hit you with a paddle?
Well, no, this
yeah,
was,
they
this,
would.
This occurred in the office.
In the office.
Very nicely appointed office of Principal Fielding A. Poe.
We got him in the hallway.
Huh. In the hallway in front of everybody.
Well, not in front of everybody. It would be in the, so let's say it happened in the middle of class.
Yeah.
You did something wrong, took you out in the hallway. You heard the pop. They would come back in. I never received one. I was a good kid.
Oh. I only got one.
If you think about it, it is kind of insane that we allow other adults to beat our children for a while, wasn't it?
Well, I mean, that's the way things were back then. I'll tell you what, I didn't have another fight in the rest of my academic career.
No, but in hindsight, it's kind of crazy. Like, you wouldn't want, I know that back then, it used to be the kind of thing where if you got a SWAT, and then your parents found out that you got in trouble like that, you got in trouble again at home.
Yeah.
Maybe not true for everybody, but it was true for a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, it was a bad day.
But don't you?
I mean, it was started out to be such a good day. I had all my plays diagrammed there on the paper, and I rolled them up, and I was barking out, X cross 3-on-2. And... And the guys were executing that day, as I remember, brisk sky. It was in the fall. And football, we were moving down the field. And then here's Keith. And I let him have it, And he, and as I was flailing away,
yeah,
the surge of adrenaline was absolutely incredible, Raj.
And you were rolling around on the frozen tundra.
It was amazing.
Yes.
And there I was delivering this just ridiculous barrage of rights and lefts on top of each other, just on the man's back. And then it all, in an instant, it all changed. Miss Bowman galloping in.
She galloped in. Was she a horse?
Out of nowhere.
Was she a centaur?
She was old. And
galloped in.
And there she was. And then the next thing I knew, I was in Mr. Poe's office. And the day that had started with such promise...
Ended in
ignominy.
How sore was, like, the paddle that he used? How sore did it make you?
It wasn't bad. I am not possessed with much of a butt. And I've got a very skinny butt, causing my pants often to fall down. And which is why the belt was invented. And
for you.
Yeah. And so the one, it was one SWAT. Yeah, one of those little looked like a what do you call it? The cutting board, that you cut,
your
tomatoes
on. Right.
And he popped that thing on my backside. And it didn't feel good, as I recall.
So I had a teacher, one of my favorite teachers of all time, Mrs. Lignell. She was great.
Mrs. Lignell.
Wonderful, wonderful lady. Yeah. And she had a boat oar.
Ooh.
She had a giant.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was hanging up in the, she... never used it, but the threat of
it was there. It was hanging like the sword of Damocles over your heads.
I mean, John, this thing was massive, and you were thinking when you were 9, oh my God, she can't hit me with that. And she does. That's gonna be awful. She will punt me into next Tuesday.
Might be the end of the whole deal.
Yes.
Right there. Yeah.
Yeah. She never did.
Mrs.
And then
Lingle.
I've seen, and then there were teachers who had, like, they were thinking of it aerodynamically. They'd had these paddles where they would carve holes in it so that it had less air resistance.
Oh.
So they could gain some
level.
Some
that's
paddle
a next
speed.
Level SWAT right there.
Right?
Yes. Wow.
Just madness. It's madness that we allowed that. What were we doing?
It works, though.
I mean,
you know, you got this whole generation of kids.
Well, here we
they
go.
They don't spank their kids anymore. You know, you got to reason with a 2-year-old. You know, I don't know. Somehow I think that's less effective. In behavior,
I don't know, man.
It's all about the behavior modification, Raj. That's what it's all about.
But sometimes negative reinforcement doesn't work.
Well, but sometimes it does.
Sometimes it does.
Yeah.
But then there are other times that it doesn't. But and then, you know, the soft reinforcement does work sometimes.
Yeah. What? Reasoning?
Yeah, reason.
So Mr. Post should have said, John, that was a poor choice you made, beating the holy snot out of Keith Gentry. And if you choose to do such a thing again, it will result in perhaps corporal punishment. I don't think that conversation would have had the same effect on me as that big swat on my bony butt. What year? Third grade. I was 61, 77. Been right around 1972.
Don't you think?
Which was the year that the Fragile album came out by Yes, yeah. If memory serves.
The Fragile album.
So Yes was recording the Fragile album, and I was getting my butt spanked.
They were writing
could
it.
Could have happened on the very same day.
They were writing it about your butt.
They could have been.
Fragile. It
they
was about
have,
you.
They could have been.
A message into the station at 314-436-7900 says, it was not crazy to have other people spanking your children because you trusted them to do the right thing, and if they didn't, then there was discipline on them. Mm. That's how the world worked and still should work.
Pillar of the community was Fielding A. Poe. Very civically minded, very active in the community there in Berkeley, Missouri. And it was a fine, fine principal of Frostfield Elementary School.
Another message. I went to Vianney High School in the 80s. There was a brother there who had a paddle named Roscoe.
Mm.
If you got a SWAT from Roscoe, you got to sign the paddle at the end of the year. Good times.
Wow.
There was somebody that was in grade school.
Yeah.
I can't remember the teacher, but it did have signatures all over it.
There so, you go.
I guess from the victims.
I could have put my John Hancock right there on Fielding A. Poe's paddle.
You could have, and you would have signed it bigger than everybody else.
I absolutely would have.
John Hancock, not that one. It's our John Hancock with us today on the Chris and Amy Show. I'm Chris Ranji. A lot coming up. Joe Roderick will talk sports with us.
Can't wait.
Talk some Cardinals baseball, college football this weekend. Big weekend for both the Illini and Mizzou. Joe Roderick's going to join us. Scott Jagow at 10 o'clock. We've got, we're going to talk City SC at 10:30. We've got a couple of Battle Hawks coming in for a no prize pick 'em.
What a day.
Man, it's a big day coming up here on the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX. Chris and Amy Show.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, on KMOX.
I believe that's an Ionian scale they were playing there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is a music term.
It's a mode.
It's a type of scale.
Yeah.
You know, we have the major scale and the minor scale. Almost all of Western music is written in.
What's the one you want to step on? What's that one called?
What?
That scale.
The scale that you step on.
That would be your bathroom scale.
Wow.
Yeah.
What about the scales of justice?
Love them. They're blind.
They're supposed to be.
They're blind or something.
They are supposed to be. The lady on the scale blindfold on.
The gal's got the two things in her hands.
Yeah,
there,
and she's got a blindfolded on.
Doesn't know where she's going.
Well, she doesn't know, but let's keep it that way.
All right.
John Hancock, Chris Ranji today. You've got the number to text with us. So we spent a lot of time yesterday talking about Jimmy Kimmel, who was removed from the air after making a joke about the Charlie Kirk situation, but it wasn't about the assassination. It wasn't about Kirk. It was about the president's reaction to it, or seeming to not have a whole lot of concern for it, and also making the comment that the shooter, we don't really know a whole lot about him yet because he's been uncooperative, but saying that he was basically one of them in talking MAGA. About MAGA, mm-hmm. that the shooter was one of them. I mean, we don't really know what all of his politics are, and I'm sure they'll continue to look into it. But he was removed. All the late night hosts reacted to it last night. Of course, they all came out in defense of him. We're talking about, Seth Meyers and Stephen Colbert, whose show is ending next year. I believe in May it's coming to an end. And also Jimmy Kimmel also went to his defense. Or excuse me, Jimmy Fallon. Yep.
Well, guys, President Trump just wrapped up his 3-day trip to the UK, and he
looked incredibly handsome.
As always, his tie was
exactly the right length.
And his face looked
like a color that exists in nature.
And his hair looked
better than Conrad from the summer I turned 30.
During the trip, protesters managed to project images onto the sides of Windsor Castle of Trump standing next to his good friend, Jeff
Goldblum.
Even though his administration still insists that he's not in the
Goldblum
file, which we all know is absolute bull.
True.
So that's Jimmy Fallon, and that's sort of how he handled it. It's a humorous way to poke fun at, hey, I'm not afraid to say whatever I want to say, but I'm also censoring myself.
Right.
Which is, I mean, it's funny because now that's sort of, it's funny, but it's also serious because that's how a lot of people feel now. Like they can't say what they want to say if they have a criticism, if they have a joke, valid or invalid criticism. But our First Amendment protects us from that. It allows us to have valid and invalid criticisms of others. It doesn't necessarily protect you from losing your job.
Right.
But it does protect you from the government intervening to have you lose your job, or it's supposed to anyway. But there is a lot of concern that people have. It's not really about Kimmel. I don't think most people in these protests that are happening and these protests that are planned moving forward. There's a protest happening at Disneyland coming up. It's not about Kimmel. It's about what that means for the rest of us. Because what we're wondering is, okay, if we criticize the president in some way, is he going to come after us? And now you have FCC Chair Brandon Carr telling Scott Jennings earlier today that maybe they should look into The View also. I don't like The View. I think The View sucks. As a TV show.
Never seen
it. It's not entertaining. To me, it's not. To other people, it is.
Yeah.
It does nothing for me. But we're not going to just go after The View because you don't like what they're saying about you. The whole exercise here is that you can have free speech, that you can say what you want to without government intervention. That's the whole deal.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, all of us that talk for a living. Yeah, over the airwaves. I mean, we're always one ill-advised comment away from losing our jobs. And we've seen scores of people in the broadcast business, radio and television, even locally here, who have lost their jobs because of something they've said on the air or something they posted on social media. And those, you know, we have to self-govern what comes out of our mouths at the risk of losing this, what I consider to be a tremendous honor to be able to have access to the public airways. Now, and I think that's fine. I've got no problem with ABC firing Jimmy Kimmel. It's entirely their purview. Here's the problem is when the director of the FCC goes and publicly on a podcast and a broadcast saying that, you know, we can do this the easy way or the hard way. He needs to go, essentially. That's a line that's been crossed as it relates to the First Amendment, because it, you're right, Chris, the government, the whole point of the First Amendment is a restriction on the government. It's not a restriction on private employers. It's not a restriction on ABC or anybody else. It's a restriction on the government. I think Kimmel probably would have been fired without Brendan Carr, the FCC commissioner, saying anything publicly. I think that was, that process was unfolding. The affiliates that own a majority of ABC's affiliates in the country both said they weren't going to air the program any longer. ABC took the step of saying we're going to, you know, indefinitely suspend him. He's gone. You know, they've already emptied out the stage where the show was broadcast. That likely would have happened with or without the government stepping in, but the government did step in. And that, as a matter of precedent, is not good. And it is a restriction on the of the First Amendment, which is foundational to this country. And so, yeah, I have real concerns about the way this happened. I could give two rips about Jimmy Kimmel. Never watched the show. And, you know, he probably did say something stupid. But I do have a problem with the federal government coming in and deciding who can or who cannot have access to the public airspace in a manner like this.
It doesn't matter what side you're on. If you are a First Amendment advocate,
that's right,
you need to have a problem with this.
That's right.
Because at best, it is a gray area. It's very, very murky, and I don't think we need to be dipping into murky waters. This isn't good. And I've had people sharing, Obama back in 2018, raiding the Associated Press office. But that was over what they believed to be reporting on terrorist organizations. And they used the Espionage Act for it. And that's a debatable whether or not that was a good thing or not. But it wasn't, hey, I don't like the Associated Press. They're mean to me, so I'm going to shut them down. This is very, very, very different.
Well, and you know, perhaps a better comparison is, you'll recall during the Biden administration where they were essentially telling social media platforms what they could or could not say about COVID.
Right.
And, you know, that was a very, in my opinion, a very inappropriate exercise of the federal government controlling speech. You don't want that in this country, whether it's on the left or on the right, matters not. You do not want the government dictating and controlling speech in this country. That leads to very, very, very bad consequences.
John Hancock, Chris Ranji. When we come back, we're going to talk a little Cardinals and more. Big college football weekend, as we mentioned. Mizzou's got a big game against South Carolina. The Fighting Illini, a top 25 game. They're taking on Indiana and Cardinals in their final home series of the season. Joe Roderick with STL Sports Central next. Cardinals.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Start their series tonight against the Brewers at Busch, and that is it. These three games here, final games of the season at home. They'll go on the road for six.
Yep.
They've got the Giants in San Francisco. They've got the Cubs at Wrigley, and that's it. End of the 2025 season for your St. Louis Cardinals. You can hear the action tonight. 6:20 pregame, 7:15 first pitch, right here on 104.1 FM KMOX. Operations and content provider for St. Louis or STL Sports Central, and also used to be with Klabes Online, is Joe Roderick.
Yeah.
And Joe covers the Cardinals, and he's with us on KMOX. How's it going, Joe?
What's going on, guys? Still with Klabes, though. He pops in every now and then over at what we're doing at STL Sports Central. He's one of the big wigs here as well. So can never get away from working with Klabes.
That's, well, yeah, great guy. Mike Claiborne, great guy. So
truly,
good guy to work with. The Cardinals here, I want to get your general overview of everything that's happened, because, you know, we talked weeks ago about, you know, the season, and we know what the season was supposed to be. Runway is the big word. That's the one we used all year long. Does it feel like, in that regard, in terms of figuring out what the Cardinals have, what they need moving forward, that this was a successful year, or do you feel like there's still a lot that they don't know?
It's successful. I think if you take a step back and you look at who was good this year, at who did perform well in that runway, and you get names like Yvonne Herrera, you get Alec Burleson, you get guys like that on the offensive side, and you can look at that and you could say, okay, like we know those are two centerpieces for next year. But I think the biggest question, it kind of is, moves into the offseason. And it's, okay, what can we get for the guys that we don't want around anymore? Like, I think a big question, like, you look at it and you go, okay, what do we think we could get if we put Nolan Gorman on the market? What do we think we could get if we put Lars Nootbaar on the market? And then from there, kind of build into next year, because, like, those are two guys. Like, Lars Nootbaar is a guy that I really, really hope that Heim Bloom trades this offseason. I don't know what you get for him, though, but I think we've seen enough. I think we've seen enough to probably move on from that. And then you get a guy like a Nolan Gorman, who we've seen the spurts still. We've seen the potential to be a 30 home run guy. There might be a few little tweaks in there that we need to get in there, but I think it's there. So, you know, do you like what you see there with that? So, yes, I think the long answer is yes, I like what I saw out of the runway season, because you did get answers on guys that you had a lot of questions about.
Yeah, and the Cardinals have got they've really got a glut in the outfield. They've got a glut in the infield, with this roster as it exists today. So they're going to have to weed out players in both of those areas. And the question is, you're probably, for the folks that the Cardinals are going to be willing to trade, not likely that we're going to get big league ready incoming from those trades, right?
Probably not. Or, you know, in a case like Lars Nootbaar, he is a guy that's ready to start for a lot of teams in Major League Baseball. There's a lot of teams that could use a Lars Nootbaar on their team, a corner outfielder, maybe bat sixth, seventh in a lineup. He's not a leadoff hitter. He's not what the Cardinals are using him for. Can you trade that to a team that might just be that one small piece away from being a playoff contender or needs to take that next step in the playoffs and get a fourth starter for him? Because that's really what the Cardinals need. That's what I think that's going to be the biggest thing going into next year, is how do you round out this starting rotation? Because if you look at it right now and you say, okay, Miles Michaelis is gone, man, this is not a team that has five viable starting pitchers in the organization to pitch at a major league level. So are you willing to trade him away for a guy that'll get you 25, 30 starts next year of, I don't know, Andre Pallante, Miles Michaelis type of starts? Then if that's the case, then okay, go ahead and trade him away. Outside of that, I really don't know what the market is going to be for some of these other guys.
Kyle Leahy is a possibility for the rotation. Ollie Marmol talked about that with us on Gas House Gang on Tuesday, and that they were intentionally building up his innings this year with the intent that maybe they give him an opportunity in spring training next year to develop back into a starter. I mean, would you like if they did that? Obviously, he's more valuable to them out of the rotation if he can do it effectively than he would be out of the bullpen. Yeah. So do you like him specifically there?
I do. And I think that he has pitched in enough high leverage situations. And I think that he's impressed enough people in the organization. When you look at some of his lengthened outings that he's had the second half of the season, I think you do look at that and you say, hey, that's a guy that's gone through a lineup a few times when he's pitched and has had some good outings. He deserves it. I really think he deserves it for the way that he kind of came on and earned every opportunity that he got this year. And I think that you have to look within as well. We have to assume that this year, this offseason is going to be very similar to last offseason where they spent $2 million on free agents. I don't think they're going to go out there and suddenly surprise us and open the bank to a lot of other free agents. So you do have to look from within. And is that Quinn Matthews? We heard a lot about him in spring training. Didn't see him on the big league roster at all this year. He was hurt a little bit. Tink Hentz, again, that's a guy that we heard a lot about in the minors. He was hurt throughout the season. So you kind of look at what you have in the organization. And yeah, I do think a name like Kyle Leahy, maybe a Gordon Graceffo is a name that you give those opportunities to. And maybe we go into spring training, you say, hey, we got these nine starters that are fighting for these jobs. And then by the time we get to about March 15th and you kind of look at it, are we really going to have five of those nine that we look at and we're happy with at the major league level? I don't think so. And that's something that worries me about next year.
And behind the plate, Jimmy Crooks has had a cup of coffee now with the big league club. Is he likely to slot in as the starting catcher next year? Do you think Pedro Pages retains that position?
That's a good one. That's a good question. Just because we've also heard Ivan Herrera still wants to catch. And is the organization going to have to step in and say, listen, man, you're not a catcher? Is he going to be able to prove enough this offseason that he can stay healthy as a catcher? Because he wasn't at the beginning of the year, kept getting hurt. And now that he's a DH, okay, we've seen a lot of signs of him being a really, really good hitter. I think Bernie wrote an article for us the other day showing that when you look at his age, I think it was guys under 25, under 24 years old, like Ivan Herrera, he's top five in baseball with a lot of his offensive numbers. So is that something you're willing to risk with that? There's one name out there that I keep throwing around, and I keep getting told that I'm an idiot for it because there's no way the Cardinals are going to make this move. Why not take a flyer and try to make a move on a guy like Adley Rutschman of the Orioles? It seems like he's kind of fallen out of favor. He's had a bad year. You could probably buy low on him. And he's a guy that's a former All-Star, so he does, you know, he does grab those headlines. I think that would be a real nice first, second move for Chaim Bloom to make.
So how quickly do you think they want to be competitive? And I mean, you know, not just, hey, we'll see what happens. Maybe they win the division. Because now the Cubs are the Cubs. They're a pretty good team. I would suspect that they have a stronger offseason than they did trade deadline because they didn't do much there. The Reds have continued to improve. The Brewers are the Brewers, you know, they somehow still do it every year. So how quickly do you think they can be competitive and how aggressive they want to be in doing it?
That's a question that I don't know if any of us have the answer to right now. I'm hoping there's some sort of introductory press conference for Chaim Bloom next Monday. When the season's over and before the playoffs start, and we get an idea of what the Chaim Bloom era is going to look like with the Cardinals. That's one that if I had to guess right now, I'm going to say the Cardinals don't spend much money off season next year. and we get a good look at what this team might look like. You know, we just let the young kids go at it again and hope that there's baseball in 2027. And if there's not, then maybe we're competitive again in 28.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of seems like that's the most likely outcome at this point. Turning our attention to the other sport in town, St. Louis Blues started their training camp yesterday. The first game, regular season game, is on October 9th, just around the corner. Team that surprised a lot of people last year and almost won the first round, should have won the first round against Winnipeg. They've added a couple of pieces in the offseason. I think this is going to be a pretty good team. What do you think?
It's what were they, 6 seconds away, 10 seconds away from advancing in that? I didn't get a chance to go out and see training camp yesterday. Randy Carricker and I were talking about this yesterday morning. I would think that Jim Montgomery probably started training camp with working on 6-on-5s, right? Like you probably started working on all of that man advantage type stuff to fix the main issues there were last year. And it's kind of funny that both these organizations, the Cardinals and the Blues that we're talking about, same type of thing. Last year seemed like a runway season for the Blues. They got hot in the second half. All the kids played really well. They made the playoffs, and they almost upset the number one seed. And it's going to be a big question of, okay, are those kids going to learn from that? Are they going to be hungry coming into next year? Or did they kind of relax a little bit and say, yeah, well, hey, we'll be a year older. We'll be a lot better next year. So going into it, I have huge expectations for the Blues this year after what they did last season.
Yeah, Blue season is coming up, and college football season is already happening. It's been underway for a while. Big weekend. Mizzou has South Carolina. Fighting Illini have Indiana. Man, that's a lot going on there, Joe.
I can't wait. I've been for the last two weekends I was in, or the first two weekends I was in Columbia. Last weekend I was up in Champaign. I'm not leaving my couch this Saturday. I'm not. I am going to be locked in.
Hell, you don't leave your couch in June on Saturday.
Right. I am going to be locked in on those games. I can't believe College Game Day didn't go to Indiana this weekend.
I know.
That when you look at the calendar of the games this week, yeah, Auburn, Oklahoma seems like a big one, but
they always go to those Illinois schools, man. They're always Auburn, Oklahoma, all those old.
They already wasted their trip to Oklahoma for Michigan, Oklahoma. Like they messed it up themselves by going there in week two. Illinois, Indiana is the game this weekend. That's one where you know Illinois right now. Top 10. They're number 9 in the country. They win that game. Mm-hmm. And same thing with like Mizzou this weekend. Like you win that game, like you're going undefeated into Mizzou could be going undefeated into Alabama. Illinois could be undefeated going into Ohio State. Like that is for the colleges that are closest to us here in St. Louis in Division I football. Like those are huge, huge storylines. Last week at the Illinois game, that offense, they struggled a lot against Western Michigan in that first half. They finally figured it out in the second half. That defense, though, was really, really fun to watch in that game. Luke Altmaier could really put his name on the map this weekend with a big win over Indiana. The Mizzou one, I am sitting here, and I cannot figure out if I want to put money on Mizzou this weekend as a favorite. Outright? Like, yeah, sure. I am not a huge Mizzou fan, so they have not broken my heart like they have probably many of the listeners right now out there in their sports history. But at one point, they were 13.5-point favorites over a team that started in the top 10 this season in South Carolina. Like, I get that Lenore Sellers is questionable, but that just seems so – that is such a huge spread for that game. And they have to win. They when you are that much of a favorite, you're at home, and you've been home all season. Like you should, they should be ready to go, ready to just run them out of the building on Saturday night.
Joe Roderick, we are looking forward to a big college football weekend, and I mean, you're right about College Game Day. What they're going to Miami, right? It's for Miami, Florida. Yeah, they're always doing the South. You know, if you go to Indiana, Champaign is like 2.5 hours away. There are going to be so many Illinois fans there, so many Indiana fans, obviously. That would have been an incredible atmosphere because they would have eaten it up there. It's absolutely nuts.
Yeah, and you know, yeah, save the South for November, December.
Yeah, when
it's cold. Like, if you have a nice weather weekend in Bloomington, Indiana, go there.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly right. Joe Roderick, STL Sports Central, you're the best, man. Thank you for being with us.
Absolutely, guys, anytime.
All right, big sports weekend, John. You ready?
I am ready.
Bears' first win. Chiefs, will they go to 0-3?
Who are the Bears playing?
They got the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, well, okay. Well, I'll be rooting for the Bears.
Speaking of football, we do have our no prize pick'em challenge today, and that is happening at 11 o'clock. Our celebrity pickers, Cam Kelly and Jake Sutherland, Battlehawks players, are going to be in studio selecting football games. I can't wait for that. John Hancock, Chris Ronji, did you see this next?
Now, did you see this with Chris and Amy?
Well, we've got John Hancock and Chris Ronji today. This is the first hour of the show.
How about that?
Did you see this? And this is it is a sad note. Marty Prather of Springfield, Missouri.
I did see that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is the sign man.
Right.
Now, I knew of him when I was in college because Illinois State in the Missouri Valley Conference, Missouri State was in the conference up until this year. And he's a big Missouri State fan. It was Southwest Missouri State at the time, but he had like those really clever signs professionally made, and he would have like 12 of them and he would hold them up, and they were really big, and he would sort of, shake them so you could see them.
Yeah.
And he's very recognizable. He was at all the Southwest Missouri games. He was at all the Cardinals games doing the exact same thing, but he is suffering from an illness right now and has been hospitalized. He's apparently on a ventilator, and this is according to the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Barry Hinson, who used to be the basketball coach at Missouri State, is now the athletics director, associate athletics director at Oklahoma State, and he is close with him. He knows him and was telling the Post-Dispatch about it. It's really, really sad. But
it is sad.
I had been wondering for years, where is that guy? Haven't seen him in a while. And hopefully he will recover.
Yeah.
Marty Prather is his name. Never knew his name either.
Yeah.
But very recognizable.
Yeah, absolutely.
The sign guy. So we're wishing the best for him and hoping that he can recover. I don't know the nature of the illness, but hoping he'll be okay. John Hancock, Chris Ronji with you. Hour two of the show. We've got three today. We're with you until 12. Then it's the Gas House Gang. John, you can make it. He made this face. I said, we got two more to go. And he went, oh, God, we'll be fine. Scott Jagow from the KMOX newsroom, roaming St. Louis, three good things, and a chat with Stu Mack. He's going to tell us about all of it when we come back on KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.